Hi everyone, I have my friend Anoush Movsesyan here. You guys may know her as Skins and Needles on social media. Anoush and I have been friends since we were 8 years old. We danced together and we went to college together and we've built a very strong relationship and friendship. She was one of the first people that I wanted to bring to this podcast because she is a beauty lover just like me, but she has taken a passion, turned it into a career, and also she grew so quickly, so much, and I kind of want her to give insight on how she did that and what advice she has for someone who's trying to build their social media, because she did it on a very high scale. And so I want to kind of bring her into this, talk about where she started and how she knew she wanted to be a nurse practitioner. She's an aesthetic nurse practitioner, but she used to have a beauty blog, and that's when her first fan base started. So I'll let you take it from here and give us a little history about who Anoush Movsesyan is.
Hi guys, I'm so excited to be on this podcast. This is actually my third podcast, so I feel like I've become a pro. let me introduce myself. I am a nurse practitioner. I specialize in aesthetics, so Botox, fillers, skin rejuvenating treatments. Became a registered nurse about 7 years ago, went straight into plastic surgery, and just started my love affair with aesthetics from there. And then became a family nurse practitioner, which means I just had my master's degree and became a nurse practitioner. So I, like Lilith said, I started my blog. It was a beauty blog called It's Not About Inner Beauty, no pun intended. And this was about 12 years ago when I was pregnant with my first daughter. And I am a product junkie. So it started off just trying out products, reviewing them, and giving my honest advice, whether it was good or bad. And I grew that. I had about, God, people were going on blogs back then. I had about 78,000 hits a month just on my blog, which was...
That's crazy. And that's, you didn't have Facebook, Instagram, nothing at that time.
So social media.
Where do you think these people were coming from?
You know, I don't know. Maybe word of mouth. I'm sure you had spoken about it on your Instagram, but it grew pretty quickly. And then I deactivated it because I had another baby and I did my master's and I was working part-time in plastic. So it was too difficult to manage it all. About 3.5 years ago, I opened up my first social media platform, which was Instagram. I was lost. I did not know what the hell I was doing. I remember I made my first story and one of my good friends called me and she's like, "You need to get off of social media right now. You just embarrassed yourself. Delete those stories." And it's funny, I mentioned this on Kat Sadler's podcast. I was like, "What do you mean?" And I'm not you can't hurt my feelings easily, but I became so insecure and I'm like, "Oh my God, I sound terrible." But you know, I quickly started to realize I'm having fun with it, and it was my only form of marketing myself as a practitioner, as an injector, because at the time the clinic I was working for, she said, "Listen, if you can get a clientele yourself, get it. I can't help you, but I'll give you a place to inject." So it was very difficult in the beginning, but I just feel like it, you know, it was my number one source of marketing. And within 1 year, I've only had it for 2.5 years, within 1 year, it started to pick up really fast. And I can honestly thank COVID for that. I know this is going to sound crazy, but pre-COVID, things were kind of slow. But during the pandemic, when we were all stuck at home, I used my platform to help women just, you know, understand what they're doing, whether it was with makeup or with skincare or product reviews, very honest product reviews.
Self-care was huge during COVID and what you do, and
so
self-care
goes hand in hand. I used my platform a lot at that time, and Jesus Christ, when the doors opened after COVID, I was, you know, crazy booked. And I mean, obviously it has a lot to do with my passion for what I do, and I'm not gonna, you know, I'm gonna toot my own horn a little. I'm really good at what I do, but I think the combination of it all, and obviously with the help of my friends, especially Lilith, I on a weekly basis, I would have people, you know, I always ask them, like, where did you hear about me? Who referred you to me? And it was so many of them were like, Lilith's Instagram, Lilith's Instagram. So with the help of influencers, friends, I feel like my own personality through Instagram, it mm-hmm. has really worked out for me. Like you said, yeah. I'm at 65,000, all, you know, nothing is bought, all organic followers.
Mm-hmm. So. And these are actually, when you say influencers helped promote you, we can only get you the viewers, not the patients, right? Like your yes. work has to bring in the patients, and then it's your job to have them be repeat customers, because the best business that you can be in is when you have high repeat Absolutely. Customers and all of your customers are like dying to come back.
Absolutely.
So let me take it back a little bit. Before you started to get into blogging, before you went to school as a beauty or as a nurse, you were doing what? Because I remember your skill in the fashion industry before you even got into it. So you have a skill. You were born with a skill to
it's
sell.
Called the gift of gab. I have been told that I can sell a pencil to a pencil maker.
Exactly what I wanted to say.
Yeah, so ever since I was a kid, and by kid, I mean like late teens, early 20s. I'd be at a family gathering. I would be at the supermarket. I would be around friends, and you would always see me with a bunch of women huddled around me. I would be writing down a lip liner name, a hair salon name, an esthetician's name. I'm constantly referring people to people because it was just it was kind of like my passion, and I guess I have a way of talking with people. So yes, I can.
It's the honesty. People yes. know that you're honest. You wouldn't refer someone just because it's your friend. You wouldn't refer
Absolutely
someone just because
not.
You're trying to support, but don't really yes. like believe in it. And I think yes. that was always in you. And I remember visiting you at Nordstrom. You were working at Impulse, I believe. It's like the trending...
Savvy.
It's like a trending yes. Prestigious
cool brand.
School yeah. brand. And I remember just watching her with a customer. I think we're going to go to coffee. I don't know what it was. And I think she wore a pair of pants. You're like, no, these are not for you. Let me bring you something. And you brought all these items out to her. And you told her exactly what would look good on her, what wouldn't. And she wore it, and it was true. And she believed you. And she literally bought everything you said because she was like, oh my God, thank you so much for your honesty. Like yeah. someone else would have just sold me this. And you were like, no. You don't need those $300 pants because they're not yeah. the right fit for you. So you always had a skill to sell, but it was your yeah. honesty. That's your skill,
right.
I think.
So when we talk about sales, it does sound a little bit like a cheap car. I sound like a cheap car salesman, but really, I think that it's my honesty in my back then in my blog, back in sales with my customers, on my Instagram, that I feel like that's what connects me with people. And listen, sometimes my honesty, it can work against me because it's very hard to be very honest. It really is, because a lot of the times you're like, should I say this? Should I not? I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But every opinion, every honest opinion that I have, anything that I say is always coming from a good place. And that is how I connect with people. I feel like we are now in a world where everything is an ad, everything is paid for, everything is sponsored, and we are lacking people that are just gonna tell you how it is, whether it's good or not, or you should buy. And I feel like that is the relationship I've built with my followers over time. They know that if I'm gonna talk about something, if I'm gonna promote something, like you said, it doesn't matter if it's a friend made it, my sister created it, you know, I'm gonna have an honest opinion. And I feel like my followers and patients really appreciate that about me.
And you're like that with your customers too, right? When they come in and they tell you, okay, what do I need? Do I need this? Do I need that? Sometimes you will reject them
Absolutely.
Or reject the service, because even though
Absolutely.
That's a lot of money, and the average nurse practitioner would be like, yes,
Absolutely.
Let's do it. I know through personal friends and customers that have come to you that said, oh my gosh, she was so honest. She didn't let me do half the things that I wanted to do.
Absolutely. I had 22 patients today, probably 10 of which asked me if they need lip injections. And I was like, you absolutely do not need them. You know, you have wonderful lips. They don't need to be any bigger. Listen, at the end of the day, if the customer absolutely wants it, I am there to please the customer patient. But I will be very honest and tell them they don't need it, even if that means cutting money from going into my pocket. I would much rather be honest and tell somebody to save that money than to spend it on something they do not need.
And what do you say to those people who, I know that when we were on a panel together one time in the summer, mm-hmm. and one of the panelists mentioned how young girls don't need injections, love yourself, love who you are, and all of these things. And then there is a woman in the crowd who, this was after you have already spoken your mm-hmm. piece. She stood up in the crowd and she started clapping like, bravo, bravo. Like, this is, yes, no, I don't want to hear anything about young girls getting injections. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you are right. Love yourself. Like, where do you see the line there? And what do you say to those people who look at this in such a, like a, negative perspective in this industry? Yeah.
So listen, you could still love yourself and love who you are and be yourself and still do injectables. I mean, I don't believe one has anything to do with the other. Yes, this new generation is starting earlier. I remember I started Botox at 30. I'm sure so mm-hmm. did you. Back then it was very taboo. But here, my stance on it is this, and I've mentioned this before in the past. We are Armenian. In our culture, rhinoplasty, which is a surgery, is a very accepted and common surgery. You have a big nose, it's an insecurity of yours at a young age, we get surgery, we, you know, cut it off. So I feel like, yeah,
cut it off.
And then that's much more drastic. That is a permanent surgery than a lip injection or a plumping of a little bit of a cheek. So, mm-hmm. Is it okay? Do I have 18-year-olds? Absolutely. If it is her insecurity, who am I to take that away from her? I will definitely help her feel better about herself, and I will do a minimal, more natural job to achieve natural results. What I do not support is when I have an 18-year-old or a 21-year-old that's an infant that sits in my seat and says, make me look snatched, and then brings their eyebrow to their hairline. So that's what that's what I'm against. I will say no. That word snatched makes me irk. So there's a fine line between improving your own looks, minimal improvements here or there, and I'm all for it at a young age. Again, who are we to judge if it's bothering someone? If someone has saucer lips at the age of 18 and they want to improve that, I am all for it. That's all.
What do you say to those young girls who overboard it, do too much? There's obviously, you know, I'm sure you get celebrity pictures and all that. Like, yeah. Everyone wants to look like someone else instead of themselves. And I'm sure there are women that no matter how much you do to them, what you do to them, they still don't love themselves, right? There's still insecurity. And what do you say to those women, like, who are listening?
So I feel like a big part of my job, and I'm sure a lot of injectors will agree with this, is like therapy. A lot of the times we're talking to our patients. Nowadays, it's really sad because and I've mentioned this before many times, my competitor is no longer Jill, the injector down the street. My competitor now is Facetune and Instagram mm-hmm. and filters, because mm-hmm. nobody now brings a photo of Kim Kardashian or, you know, Julia Roberts. Now I'm getting, here's what I look like with this filter, turn me into this filter. And I'm very mm-hmm. against that. And I don't think I sound rude, because I've never had a patient complain, but I will point blank say that's not going to happen. I am not, you know, I'm not Jesus Christ. I don't have a magic wand to give you completely different facial features. This is not achievable. It is not impossible. It's not possible. It's filtered. You know, you have to have realistic expectations. This is the shape of your lip. I'm simply making it bigger. I'm not drawing you a new lip line with lip liner. So mm-hmm. it's unfortunate that nowadays this is what we have to compete with. Facetune and filters, and no one looks like that in real life. I have worked with so many people in plastics, and in my current job now, I can tell everyone, no one looks like the filtered photos you guys see. No one's jawline looks like it's made of wood with no skin hanging. No one has that Russian lip that looks like, you know, it just, no one looks like that. We need to have, I absolutely love, listen, I know this may sound very I don't know, might not make sense to a lot of you. Yeah. But it is such a breath of fresh air when I have a patient that comes to me and says, listen, let's get rid of some of the wrinkles, everything. I'm fine with this, you know, skin hanging a little. I'm fine. I love hearing that. Mm-hmm. I love when patients say they're fine with a lot of the things that they have going on and they just want minimal improvements.
And I love that you started this whole hashtag no filter movement.
Absolutely. No filter, no Paris.
No filter, no Paris. And, you know, truly showing what your skin looks like and truly showing. But of course, you will also get comments like, okay, we get it. You're perfect. Stop hashtagging no filter. But like, you know, how do you feel about that? Where you're trying to promote something positive and then something negative still comes out of it.
And listen, and I think Lilith knows this way better than I do because I have 5% of her following. You cannot please everybody on social media. I came to a point on social media over a year ago where I got disgusted of every filter that altered my facial features. I was becoming insecure when that camera filter wasn't on. I started to feel like I need a nose job, and I am not that girl. I am very, very self-confident. I've never had insecurity issues, minor things here and there. But social media, I mean, Snapchat and Instagram filters really got to me. And one day I had it all, I deleted them. And listen, once in a while, I'll use a grainy filter for fun here or there, but it is extremely important and very healthy to show what you look like. And I think you do that a lot in the morning or at night when you're doing your makeup or skincare, because we need to show people that pores are normal, lines are normal. We don't always look perfect. And listen, how embarrassing is it when people see you looking phenomenal on social media and you're a beautiful looking girl, but that's not what you look like. And then they see you in person and they're like, wait, but you don't look, I mean, that's just, that's wrong. And putting aside what other people think, it's about what you need to not, you need to be okay with what you look like. My 12-year-old has Snapchat. She is only allowed to follow friends from school and family. I will not allow her to take a filtered photo. Once or twice I saw it, I had a very long talk with her. I said, you are a beautiful girl. If you start taking filtered photos now, unfortunately, and this, you know, I'm very honest with my kids. Yes, do you look better with a filter? Absolutely. It made you look even more beautiful. But that is very wrong. You need to be okay with what you look like because you're gorgeous without it. And we're never taking a filtered photo again. And my daughter is very accepting of it because it's healthy.
And I know that your mom also commented once because you had used a fun, like that grainy filter. And your mom had told you like, what are you doing?
You're doing this no filter thing.
What do you think you're doing? So yeah. I think, you know, your family, the fact that you surround yourself with honest and, you know, straightforward people is really important. But I think another thing about you is that you're not all about injectables on your social media. You're very big on self-care. If you think of one person on social media that's very big on self-care, it's Anush. Everybody knows this. I mean, I even know, like, no matter how tired you are at the end of the night, you will still do your full-on routine. Absolutely. And when I say full-on, maybe not your 12-step, but maybe you will still do your 4-step, you know, at a late night. And you're very big on your weekly massages and this and that. And I think that's an important fact about you as well, because you're not just like, hey, get injectables to feel good about yourself. No, get your massages, surround yourself with good people, laugh at yourself, do your skincare, like enjoy your skincare, enjoy that massage or whatever it is that you're also promoting. So it's not just about, and I know there's so many other little things that you do, like even your alone time in your morning, having your coffee, like
with the birds,
you know, like me and your sister make fun of you. I'm like, oh my God, my chaotic morning. And then your silent coffee with, you know, your silent moment with your coffee before your kids wake up. But like you make that effort to wake up before your kids to have that coffee and that moment to yourself. And those are very, very important points to bring up, because
for mental health,
because you can do all the injectables if you want, but if your mental health is not where it should be, none of that is going to make you feel good about yourself.
Absolutely. Self-care. I'm very big into self-care. I'm a mother. I have a full-time job. I firmly believe that being a little selfish is okay, and you have to take care of yourself, because if you don't, then you are... Listen, I come home from work sometimes, and if I'm mentally having a bad day, I'm not going to be a good mom to my kids. I'm not going to be a good wife to my husband. I'm going to be annoyed. So when I put that effort and time into my own sanity and self-care, I'm just a better injector, better coworker, better friend, better wife, better mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this even, you know, when I had Omela 12 years ago. I knew at 16 weeks, my daughter wakes up at 7 a.m. I put my alarm on at 5:30. I would get up. I was a stay-at-home mom at that time for a short period of time. Get up, put my makeup on, and then my newborn would wake up, because I didn't want to be that mom running around the house, cooking, cleaning with a newborn, and then I would see myself in the mirror, and then I would get even more upset at my appearance. I just mm-hmm. wanted to feel good about myself. And I've, like, as my older sister says, I have an appointment for every body part. I love self-care. And it's difficult sometimes. I know a lot of people say, well, how do you make the time? You can make the time if you put your mind to it. Mm-hmm. Even if I have to send one child to my mom's, one with my mother-in-law, or one with my husband, I'm going to get that weekly blow dry. I'm going to get my nails done every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it, because that's how I feel better about myself.
And what about people who can't afford a weekly blowout and weekly massages?
Do your own blow dry, but make sure your hair is washed and clean. You will feel prettier. You will feel better. Make sure that skincare at night is not just quickly, let me do it. No, enjoy it. Put some music on. Let it be therapeutic. It's not just about your kids and your husband. You have to feel good. And listen, I know it's a personality. I can preach this to my older sister. Mm-hmm. And she will still sleep in and not do it. It is a personality.
We have to mention that she has perfect skin. So
phenomenal.
She knows she can get away with a lot Absolutely. More than the average Absolutely. Person
Until
can.
I was doing her Botox one day, very close up, about 3 years ago. And I said, listen, you may not have big pores and you don't have any acne marks or not, but let me tell you the amount of dead layers of skin you have sitting on this skin. I put her on certain ingredients and skincare, and her skin is even more phenomenal now. But self-care is very important. I'm very into it. What you see on my social media is not just a facade. It is actually who I am. It is what I love to do. And when I get messages from women saying that I've motivated them to do it, or patients coming in and said they're here because of who I am on social media, that means the world to me, because I never thought I would do this on social media. It's phenomenal.
So you got on social media, you grew pretty quickly, but so let's talk about like the makeup industry. I was in the makeup industry. I grew a lot quickly as well, because social media was just growing quickly at the time, and it was my customers, they were tagging me, like, but I grew, but I wasn't doing celebrities. So I feel like with like makeup, you're either doing celebrities or you're doing weddings and you're busy and you have a big following and social media and all of that. You are at like, what do you call it? Do you say fork in the road? No, because you're kind of growing rapidly in both paths, where you're growing on social media. You are this personality, but you are gaining this high profile client base. And that is happening, as far as I know, as your friend, so naturally, so like referral based in that. Like, how did that start for you? Like, when was the first time you got a celebrity? You were like, oh my God, I cannot believe I just did so
much. I think
like,
my actual big celebrity, there's two that I can't talk about, but my one that I can, because we've put it on social media, was Adrienne Bailon.
Mm-hmm.
And it was through a referral from a friend of mine, Luba, who is probably one of the pickiest patients I have. And to please her is like to please, you know, it's very difficult. And I remember Adrienne said to me, when Luba was raving about you, I knew you couldn't just be, you know, a regular, you know, Joe. I had to come to you. And, you know, she has, and so has
her. She's been coming.
Her entire family, every time she's in LA, she'll hit me up. And I have a few other celebrities I can't talk about, but yes, word of mouth referral is probably the biggest compliment. Mm. But yeah, and social media.
And I know that, like, I remember watching an Adrienne, I believe you hadn't even asked her, and she did like this whole stories.
Yeah, permanent post.
Permanent post, like how amazing you are. And like, people don't even talk about this naturally on social media anyway. And like, you know, she's paying for her services, but like she just loves you so much. And I think like your personality, of course, is something is very, a very big part of people connecting with you, and not just your honesty, but like you're so like chill at the same
time. And it's funny you say that because people that don't know me don't imagine me that way. Mm-hmm. And I'll get so many patients that'll meet me in person and I'm so personable, but they, I guess it doesn't come off that way sometimes on social media.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I've been told I'm intimidating. I've been told that I might not be as nice in person. My coworkers will all tell me they get asked how it is to work with me if I'm nice, and it blows my mind. I'm like, why would I not be nice? But I don't know. I think it's my honesty. People, I think that comes off as being, I think it may be hard to I don't know.
You know, I'll give an example. The, you know, my red nails became a very big thing. It became a very big thing. You hated my red nails and you had posted it. And I know that there's a few people that I know, they're like, why would she post this? And I'm like,
but Lilith like, received a gift in the mail with a postcard that said, don't be upset about Anush not liking your red nails. I just don't know where people missed the connection that Lilith is my friend of 30 years.
I think
years.
That's what it is. You wouldn't post and share that about someone you just randomly come across on social media. Like the fact that we've known each other since 8. Like I'm never offended by anything Anush is. And she, you know, if you think, you know, it's bad, like you should see what her poor sister has to deal with.
Yeah, I have cut my sister's clothes off of her. But the thing is, I think what people, because
maybe I think the relationship is like
different.
It's different. And I think that people on the outside who don't know what the relationship is like I'm not offended. Like I'm just like, I like them anyway. You're crazy. I don't give a shit. Or maybe I will listen to your advice. Or maybe I won't. But
listen, it's always coming from a good place.
I think that that's what part that people maybe miss sometimes.
And you know, I have patients that really understand my personality, and I'll be doing a consultation, and it's someone that hasn't met me but understands my personality online. And I'll realize that they're curling their fingernails in during the consult, and we just start laughing. And people like that, like patients like that, I literally want to hug. Because I understand that they get me, and they just take things so lightly. Yeah. Like we're going to laugh about it. And I'm like, what's wrong? Are you okay? Like, I'm just waiting for the comment on my neon green nails, and we'll just laugh because I don't take things seriously. Like, we grew up in a household.
Yeah.
My sisters and I have been desensitized by our mother.
Is your mother like that?
Oh, yeah, my God.
I feel like your mother
to the point where you can't hurt our feelings. You know, it is, you have.
So it comes from her.
Oh my, instantly. You gained a pound, it is told to your face. And we were just desensitized. We grew up in a family like that. So, but I think what people don't understand is I will never just say that to somebody.
Just to hurt them.
No.
Or maybe just to hurt them, right?
Ever. But listen, you ask me if something looks good. And if I don't think it looks good, I'm going to say it because that is my honest opinion. Mm-hmm. So I will always say to a good friend of mine, if they're asking me for my opinion, I say, listen, don't ask me if you want to know the real answer. If you want to know, I'll tell you. But if not, just walk away because it might upset you, because I'm going to tell you how it is. And boy, can I take it. Like if I can dish it, but I can take it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I believe you can. Going back quickly, I wanted to bring this up and we moved on. On a tangent, but going back on the work-life balance, you have 2 kids, beautiful girls, and how do you balance? I know I get this question
all
the time.
Look who's asking me. She has 3 kids, a full-time career, a husband.
No, I know. I get this question asked all the time, and my whole thing is I work around the kids' schedule, but I know that that's not how you work. Because everyone does it differently, and just because when people ask me, I'm like, this is just the way I do it because it works for my lifestyle, and I take the punches with my kids. Like, I'd rather take the punches with my kids than, like, be alone. But, like, you know, I do these sacrificing moments where I'll, like, you always say you love torturing yourself. And I'm just like, I'm not really torturing myself because this is what I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, what is it like? How do you do it? And yeah, just give us
so
how you
mine's
do it.
More of a 9 to 5. I can't really work around other people's schedule. It's yeah. more like people work around mine, but the work and the mom life, I think almost every female can handle it. Yeah, like I get ready early, take the kids to school, go to work, come back. Certain days I pick them up, come back home, or other days my husband picks them up. I think what makes it more difficult, and also I have 2 babysitters, that obviously helps. Weekends, during the day I have them, during the week I have them. My mom and my mother-in-law are at my beck and call. Great, right? At the end of the day, they're still yours. It can be, it's a lot. It's mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think that what makes my life even more hectic is me being the perfectionist that I am. And everything has to be on time and done perfectly. And even if it takes, it gives me anxiety sometimes when I have to do something. Like, let's say I wake up, I have to light that candle. Like, if I am mm-hmm. late to work, I need to light that candle. It has to be done in a certain way. I need to spray the room, sprays for me to feel zen. And mm-hmm. then I'll realize that I am getting anxiety because I'm doing these things. Like, I can't just run out of the house if my lotion is not applied on my body. And the lotion needs to be mixed with a body oil because it has to smell good.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I'm, you know, I need to get a blow dry and I'm late, but the kids have to make it to dance before my blow dry, my nail appointment. I make my life, I think, more difficult by adding things to my life that don't need to be added. But
you add things that are healthy for you.
That are healthy for mm-hmm. me. But at the end of the day, sometimes I have TMJ. I don't want to talk to anybody. I will lay down on my closet floor. So I get it all done, but sometimes at the expense of my own sanity. And yeah. I'm like, did you? But then I'm happy because I still got it all done. I just need to go to bed at 9. You know, my you phone reminds early. Me yeah. that it's bedtime at 9.
So it's past your bedtime right
it
now.
It is.
You're a good friend.
Yeah. But that's, I think that routine has always been.
I was
been,
just going to
yeah.
say, I think you're very routine
crazy
based
routine
and that kind of helps you
yeah.
put yourself on the schedule.
Yeah. My dad was like that, very routine oriented. My grandfather was like that. And routine is just, I cannot function without a routine. Step by step, everything has to be done correctly and, you know, and then chronologically, and then I'm good.
What is your advice for someone who's listening right now, listening and thinking, you know, I really need to start taking care of myself too. Like, where do I start?
I think that a lot of it in the beginning is mentally. You really have to accept that you're going to do it. You can't. I always tell my patients, don't half-ass it. I'll go through a whole skincare consult and I'll say, listen, if you're not going to do it, don't buy it. I don't want you to spend $900 on skincare. Go home and just look at it. So when you're ready, when you're actually going to do it, mentally prepare yourself, then do it. So that's number one. I think that skincare is the most important thing. When it comes to your face, mm-hmm. right? And then just mental health, I think working out is an amazing way to take eating right. These all come together. It's not just what you look like on the outside, but you work on the inside.
Absolutely.
And me and Lilith are really big on working out since we were younger. It's something that I've done throughout high school, college, with the football team I've worked out. I've worked out on the day of my wedding, throughout both my pregnancies. I think that keeps me sane.
Mm-hmm.
Lilith is a lot more hardcore on that now. Eating right. I listen.
It all goes hand in hand. I'm like that too. If I'm working out, then I'm like eating my best that day.
Yeah.
But if I'm not, I'm like, oh.
And I think that it all goes back to being selfish. I have many patients sometimes that'll say to me, you know, I wish I can do it. And I'm like, well, why can't you? I have a husband and kids. That is no excuse. So mm-hmm. do I. I have a husband and kids. Yeah, well, you have a nanny. So it doesn't matter. When a nanny leaves, when I get home at 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. I have to feed the kids, bathe the kids, put them to bed. And then I will still make alone time with my husband, make sure I have that time. I will still make sure I do my skincare. You guys, there's no excuse. If you put your mind to it, you can do it. Absolutely.
What does your husband think about this routine and the self-care and the, you know, love of taking care of yourself? I know he's like that too.
Sometimes, because my bathroom door is always open when I'm getting ready in the morning. And I'll be doing it and chatting with him every morning. That's my thing. And sometimes he'll just look at me and be like, "On, how many more things can you do?" And one thing he'll always say is, he's like, "I wonder how many girls actually do this. Like, mm-hmm. I'll put the lotion on and then I'll mix it with the niacinamide and then I'll put the oil on at the end and then I'll spray the texturizing spray, the hair perfume and the layers." And he's like, but he sees how much I love it. And it's funny now, my 12-year-old is into it. Mm-hmm. She'll wake up early, straighten her hair, you know, put on a little facial mist. And mm-hmm. my husband gets so happy. He's like, "She's like you."
Yeah. So he loves it.
I'm raised, I'm around people that love it. My mother-in-law, my father-in-law, mm-hmm. we all love it. But mm-hmm. art really supports it. And thankfully, I have the kind of husband that after a long day at work, if I say, "Listen, can you hang out with the kids? I need to get a blow dry. I need to get a massage." My husband will never, ever, ever say no. He sees how hard I work. He supports mm-hmm. what I do very, very much. He's mm-hmm. probably my number one supporter other than my best friends. And so he really supports it. He enjoys it. He loves a wife that takes care of themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. our husbands are very similar in that sense.
My husband's worse than me.
Yeah,
he is. He is you.
Yes,
he is you.
He is the male version of me.
So where do we see Skins and Needles going from here? You know, you have the social media, you've perfected it. And you have the celebrity clientele. You're doing well in your career.
Yes.
Where is Anoush headed from here?
So I have recently, my husband surprised me. He purchased land in Studio City. I just finished approving blueprints for my own med spa, mm-hmm. Which will take a long time to build because it's just an empty lot. We are going underground for parking. It's, you know, my dream has always been to own my own space, mm-hmm. and that is coming in the near future. I do want to work a little less. I work a lot and sometimes I'm drained by the end of the day.
About 22 patients a day, you said?
At max, I've seen 28. At minimum, I see 18. But it's always averaging in the mid-20s. And it's a lot. Different 20-something different personalities. Mm-hmm. And then you're really zoned in when you're injecting. And then you're
drained by the end of the day.
End of the day, I have my TMJ. I'm starting to get
arthritis.
You know
what? At the end of the day, I see you go out to dinner. I see you, and I'm like, how? I remember when I used to take clients and I'd have to wake up really early and see like 10 to 12 customers a day. Like, don't talk to me when I get home.
But what kind of dinners do I do?
I mean, you'll show up in your scrubs and you'll be very casual.
No, you can't be loud.
Don't give me music. Don't give, you know, but you still do it.
Yeah.
So that's like, that's another big thing that like I appreciate about you, because like, I remember when I was dating my husband, I was like, "We're not going out Friday night, Saturday nights. I hope you know now, because I wake up 5 a.m. and I have a very long day. I see one too many people. I talk too much. At the end of the day, I need to sleep early." Because it was a problem for us in our relationship in the while. Because I'm like, I don't have the energy. I can't do it. But you do this 5 days a week, and you will still try. And I like that, because you don't make your life about work. Although work is a very big part of your life.
Yeah, I work 6 days a week. And listen, at one point, my husband had my name under grandma in his phone because I will have people over and I start yawning at 8:30. But going out with friends at the end of the day just makes me feel whole. And my friendship with my, you know, 4 very, very close friends is very important to me. It is as important to me as my marriage. Like, it really is. Like,
it's a relationship.
Having good friends in your life is a blessing. Like, they're like my sisters, and I want to see them at least once a week. And if it means not seeing my kids that night, I'm going to do it. Because, again, it goes back to being a little selfish. It is not just about your marriage or just about your children. It's about you and maintaining a healthy balance. At mm-hmm. least once a week or once every 2 weeks, I need to see my friends. If I haven't seen Lilith in a while, I'm going to go over, you know, just to feel better about myself. One thing I've always told myself when I had kids is I'm never going to lose myself. I'm mm-hmm. never going to become that mom where my life solely revolves around my children. Mm-hmm. And I let myself go. And
listen, there are people where their life revolves around their children, and they choose that, and they're happy with that.
Right.
But for you, you're like laughing. You're like,
no, no. All of a sudden I stopped. No, I paused. No judgment. No judgment ever.
Yeah, I want to make that clear because I know that everyone has a different lifestyle and they prefer different things. Like you always tell me, I can't believe you love torturing yourself.
Absolutely. And I'm just like,
when I'm out with my friends, I'm like thinking about my kids. I'm like that kind of psychotic, yeah. But I'm tired as shit when I'm home. So I do like having a friend like you who reminds me to detach sometimes and that it's okay.
No, no, no judgment ever, guys. When I give my opinion, it is just me, my opinion. Everyone has the right to do it however they want, they choose to do it. This is just how I am. Doesn't make you a better or worse parent. We all love our kids the same way. But yes, I do sometimes see Lilith really going out of her way to inconvenience herself, like when she took Autumn to Disneyland and tortured herself. But listen, she enjoyed it. So yeah, that's just me, and that's how I like to do it, and I feel very fulfilled. I'm, you know,
it's amazing. Well, this was a great podcast. I think
a little bit of everything.
I think a lot of women either will relate to you or be inspired by you to. You know, I think it's little changes. I always say, and I mentioned in my last podcast, it's like little changes, you know, doing a little skincare routine is taking care of yourself. Maybe working out is taking care of yourself. Maybe having a quiet morning coffee to yourself is taking care of yourself. Maybe waking up a little earlier or
going to bed a little bit later or hiding in your closet.
I know that you hide in your closet sometimes and you just...
And I eat a bag of chips sometimes on the closet floor and I'll FaceTime a girlfriend, you know? Yeah. That's just sometimes I feel like I don't want to talk to anybody inside the house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all need it for our sanity.
Yeah. No, I love this. This was an amazing time with you. I think that, like I said, either people will relate or be inspired. So thank you. My and if you guys are not already following her on Instagram, it's skinsandneedles_. I'm sure you've seen her on my Instagram, but go ahead and hit that follow button. Follow her journey. Her posts are always very entertaining. And I love that you don't take it so seriously. Yeah, no. Like, your work is a serious job, but you don't take it so seriously and make it all about that. And I think it's fun. You know, I think it's nice to have entertainment, show your personality real through your life. Business. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. It was absolutely my pleasure being on this podcast. I love you and thank you for having me.
See you soon.